How could you not want to get up and preach after that? Thank you, Brother Jason, for the songs you selected, and all the saints here that lift up your voices in praise to God as we also are teaching and admonishing one another. Appreciate that so much, and we just get a taste of what heaven will be like when all the redeemed are before the throne of God singing praises unto Him. We look forward so much to that day. I invite you to take your Bibles out, please. Open to the book of Acts, chapter 24, please. Acts chapter 24. Appreciate so much the presence of each one. We have visitors, once again, that we're blessed with tonight, and we want to extend our sincere thanks and appreciation to you, and that you're an encouragement to me, and I know to the saints here at Knollwood. So thank you for coming our way. Hope you can stay a little while after the closing prayer that we might be able to visit with you a little bit, get to know each other a little bit better. Our subject tonight is the effects of entertainment. And the picture on our slide before us really represents today's family in many respects. We are a people that are connected to our technology, without a doubt. We are always being entertained, whether that be through television and movies, whether that be on the internet and browsing of our favorite websites, whether that's Twitter and blogs, whether that's social media such as Facebook or Pinterest, whether it's using Netflix or Nintendo Wii or Xbox or PlayStation, our Kindle, our Nook, our iPhones, iPads, our tablets, and our smartphones, we are a people that are connected to our technology. And tonight I'd like for us to consider the effects of entertainment on our time, on our mind, and thirdly, on our influence. But number one, on our time. In Acts chapter 24, and verse 25, from the New American Standard Bible, we read, "But as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, 'Go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you.'" Isn't that the common cry of our generation? I don't have time. We all get the same time. Each of us gets the same number of days, hours, and minutes of every week, and yet we constantly say, "I don't have time." Consider the television watching statistics for 2012. The average time spent watching television per day in the U.S. is 5 hours. Average time per day in our country is 5 hours. The years the average person will have spent watching TV is 9 years. That is the equivalent of 78,840 hours of viewing television. Have you heard of the 23rd channel? The TV is my shepherd. My spiritual growth shall want. It makes me to sit down and do nothing for his name's sake. It requires all my spare time. It keeps me from doing my Christian duty. It produces so many good shows that I must see. It restores my knowledge of the world. It keeps me from the study of God's Word. It leads me in the path of failing to attend worship and doing nothing for the kingdom of God. Yea, though I live to be 100 years old, I shall view my TV as long as it works. If it breaks, I'll go get a new one. It seems to be my closest companion. Its sounds and pictures, they comfort me. It provides entertainment for me and keeps me from doing important things with my family. It fills my head with ideas which differ from God's will. Surely, because of all the wasted hours, there will be a lack of reward at the gates of heaven. I shall not dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23 or channel 23, which is yours? But again, I don't have time. I don't have time. You know, that doesn't even include internet usage. That's just television. You see, at least with television, there's a natural stopping point, but that's not true of the internet. Because you get on there and say, well, I'm just going to check my email real quick. And, you know, I wonder what the weather's going to be like tomorrow. Well, look who posted on Facebook. Look who else posted on Facebook, etc. And let me check the latest news stories real quick and maybe the sports. And before you know it, 1, 2, 3 hours have passed, and yet we say, I just don't have time. I can think of too many nights when I've gone to bed where I said to myself, well, I didn't have time to do my Bible reading today. Well, I didn't have time to make those phone calls I had intended to make. Well, you know, I didn't have time to make those visits to the nursing home and to the hospital. I really can't think of too many times when I've gone to bed and said, you know, I just didn't have time to watch television today. I just didn't have time to check my email today. I didn't have time to get on Facebook. Brethren and friends, we must admit the effects of entertainment on our time. In Ephesians chapter 5, please notice with me, in Ephesians chapter 5 in your New Testament, verses 15 and 16. We need to hear this message of the inspired Apostle Paul loud and clear, as the saints in Ephesus originally did. See then that you walk circumspectly, walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I need to hear that. You need to hear that. We need to hear that daily about redeeming the time. Making the most of your time. The ESV translation says, making the best use of the time. But Paul speaks here to the value of our time. And we must rescue our time and use it for good pursuits. Use it to God's glory. Use it in service to Christ and in the kingdom of Christ. You know, I realize that we all need some downtime. We all need some leisure time. But our problem is too often our leisure time becomes lazy time. And lazy time becomes too much of the time. Would you consider 5 hours a day of TV as redeeming the time? Would you say that 9 years of watching TV is making the best use of your time? A companion passage to this is in Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 5. Colossians 4 and in verse 5. Where Paul says to the saints in Colossae, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. The NIV says, make the most of every opportunity. How often do we fail at doing that very thing? But how often do we fail to do so because of the effects of entertainment in our lives, in our homes? Shouldn't we be a people who are watching and waiting for the Lord instead? That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24. How often do we really think about the Lord's second coming? How often when we get up in the morning do we think, you know what, the Lord could come today. My Lord could return today. And am I ready? And what activities will you and I be involved in when He comes? Have you wondered about that? It'd be great if it's when we're all here together singing praises to God and worshiping Him, remembering Him on the first day of the week. But it could be when we're doing things that we shouldn't be doing or wasting our time when we could have been out spreading the gospel and visiting those who need encouragement. But Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 42, beginning, watch, therefore. See, we're to be watching something. Watch what? Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Shouldn't we be those who are watching also out for lost souls who are in need of a Savior? As we studied Sunday morning regarding personal evangelism in our Bible class hour, there in Matthew chapter 9, where Jesus declared, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. There are precious souls all around us that are heading to a devil's hell. And here we are investing so much of our time, wasting so much of our time too often with entertainment. You remember there in John chapter 4, in Sychar of Samaria, Jesus is having that wonderful, incredible conversation with the Samaritan woman. The disciples have gone into the city to buy food. They come back, and Jesus begins to have, of course, a spiritual conversation about the food that he has. And then he says to them in verse 35, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already ripe for harvest. In other words, there's people all around us, individuals all around us, who need to and want to hear the gospel of Christ. That's what we need to be looking for. That's what we need to be watching. Not hours upon hours of television and internet and video games and so on. We need to be focused on that which is eternal. That which matters most. Again, a common objection as to why we're not being evangelistic is, I don't have time for it. It's a preacher's job anyways, but I don't have time for it. Well, perhaps instead of watching one thing, we could be watching out for those who are lost, brethren. When a preacher moved to the Washington, D.C. area many years ago, he understood it to be a difficult field to convert the lost. And many of his friends tried to talk him out of moving there, but he went anyway. The first year, he baptized between 12 and 15 people. The second year, he had similar results. And everyone wanted to know his secret. How is it that you're converting people in a place that has been so difficult in times past? And he said, well, I tell you, it's very easy. I just conditioned myself to feel guilty sitting home at night watching television. And I tell you what frightens me, I feel like sometimes that I've conditioned myself not to feel guilty sitting at home at night watching TV, surfing the internet. Can we be honest, brothers and sisters, and acknowledge that our entertainment affects our time? Time with our family, time with God's Word, meditating in His law day and night, Psalm 1, verse 2. Time in prayer, we're to pray without ceasing, and how many of us are closer to ceasing to pray? Because of entertainment, many times. Time that we could be talking to our Heavenly Father and casting our cares upon Him, seeking His wisdom, seeking His help. Time to visit the weak and the sick, James 1:27. And of course, as we already mentioned, time to convert the lost. Our friends and neighbors and those next door. Have we gone across the street? Have we gone next door? Have we invited them to services? Have we invited them to the meeting? Have we talked to them about the gospel? No, we don't have time. We're too busy. Busy with what? Secondly, entertainment has an effect on our mind. Because how we think is going to determine how we live. The wise man said concerning men or a man, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. We read the Apostle Paul's words in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Notice by what? By the renewing of your mind. that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, you sow a thought, and you reap a word. You sow a word and you reap an action. You sow an action and you reap a habit. You sow a habit and you reap a destiny. But it all begins right here with the mind. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." Another passage we ought to think about more often and ponder. Don't you see that if a 30-second commercial can sell us on some product and we say, "Boy, I got to have that," that a 30-minute sitcom can sell us on a lifestyle, or at the very least desensitize us to sinful, ungodly things? You look at our culture and the words and phrases that are popular among people are things oftentimes that we first heard on television. They have an influence on us. They start in our mind and they become a part of our vocabulary, and eventually they become a part of our character. I would like to read to you this evening a few excerpts from the motion picture code that was used in making television and movies in our country from the years 1930 to 1966. Okay? So again, this is going to be a few excerpts from the motion picture code used in making television and movies in our country from 1930 to 1966. "The sanctity of the institution of marriage and the home shall be upheld." That first statement's shocking if you think about today's television and movies. "The sanctity of the institution of marriage and the home shall be upheld. Pictures shall not infer that low forms of the sex relationship are the accepted or common thing. Adultery, sometimes necessary plot material, must not be explicitly treated or justified or presented attractively. Sex perversion or any inference to it is forbidden. Obscenity in word, gesture, reference, song, joke, or by suggestion, even when likely to be understood only by part of the audience, is forbidden. Dances, suggesting or representing sexual actions or indecent passions are forbidden. Dances which emphasize indecent movements are to be regarded as obscene." Boy, doesn't that dovetail with last night's sermon when we touched on dancing as a work of the flesh. And here it is, a part of the code used for making television and movies. "The technique of murder must be presented in a way that will not inspire imitation. Brutal killings are not to be presented in detail. The use of firearms shall be restricted to the essentials. Methods of crime should not be explicitly presented. The basic dignity and value of human life shall be respected and upheld. Pointed profanity," this includes words, "God, Lord, Jesus, Christ, unless used reverently, or every other profane or vulgar expression, however used, is forbidden. No picture shall be produced that will lower the moral standards of those who see it. Hence, the sympathy of the audience should never be thrown to the side of crime, wrongdoing, or sin. Correct entertainment raises the whole standard of a nation. Wrong entertainment lowers the whole living conditions and moral ideals of a race. If motion pictures present stories that will affect our lives for the better, they can become the most powerful force for the improvement of mankind." Of course, I disagree with that. Here it is. But, ladies and gentlemen, pictures in our country used to, or were supposed to, conform to those standards. And we say, my, how times have changed. We don't even have commercials that conform to those standards anymore. And, you know, we think about shows that we watch as a family. And we think about when we grew up, our parents would never have let us watch those shows. And now all of a sudden, they're not all that bad. And so it's not just the standards that have changed, but our own standards have changed as to what is acceptable and what is not acceptable entertainment. How about if, like David, each one of us would resolve to set nothing wicked before our eyes? You know, you put that scripture on your computer screen or in the TV room, see if that won't help you. See if that won't help us in what we watch. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Now, David wasn't writing about television, but that truth still would apply, would it not? Because there's plenty wicked on TV and movies, on the internet. In Psalm 119, the psalmist said in verse 37, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. As you're watching TV and you're flipping through all the channels, how many worthless things are on your television? How many worthless things are on the web? And like the psalmist, we must be resolved. Turn our eyes away. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. From the New King James Version. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Let me ask you something. Is it possible to have your mind and my mind set on things above when our television is set on things below? Can we do that? Oh, I forgot. It doesn't affect us, right? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. If you were to take out, a sheet of paper and just list all those words from verse 8, true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, praiseworthy, would you be able on the other side of the piece of paper to plug in your favorite television show next to those words? Tell me, which one is lovely? Which one is praiseworthy? Which one is pure? Which one is virtuous? It affects our minds. Make no mistake about it, it affects our minds. Whoever came up with the idea that it's okay to watch what we want to watch as long as we send the children out of the room first? As long as we send them upstairs or to their bedrooms, then we can watch whatever we want to watch. We're grown-ups. We're grown-ups after all. You know, oftentimes TV shows or movies may say that the following is not suitable for children. Well, is it suitable for Christians? Is it suitable for those who are to be holy in all of their conduct? Tell me, is it? Is that going to help us set our mind on things above and meditate on things where our Savior is? And someone might respond and say, well, I understand what you're saying, Jesse. I do. I can appreciate it. But, you know, some of these shows and some of these movies, they're funny. They're funny. Let me ask you, do you think the Lord's laughing at all the things that we laugh at and find humorous? When homosexuality is displayed as something funny, is that not still a sin that nailed Jesus to the cross? When children are disrespectful to parents, is that something that's funny to us? When marriage is betrayed as something that is inconvenient instead of holy and undefiled, is that funny to us? When the husband and father is so often betrayed as just a clueless, incompetent fool, is that funny? You see, it does affect us. And before we leave this point, I want you to know that entertainment also affects our minds when we come to worship. Entertainment affects our minds when we come to worship. Because all of a sudden we think, because we've been entertained all day, that when we assemble and come together for worship, the worship service needs to focus more on the package and the presentation than the content. All of a sudden, if it's not done with a style that is compatible to our desires, then it becomes rather stale and boring to us. Oh, what a weariness, you see. Instead of asking, what do I put into it, we focus all of our attention on, what do I get out of it? Well, I didn't get anything out of it. What'd you put into it? You come here with a heart and mind excited and prepared for worship and to learn and study God's will. Well, what am I going to get out of it tonight? Probably nothing again. Entertainment affects our worship. Our children become accustomed, don't they, to being entertained? And if we're not very careful with our parenting, they expect it when we assemble for worship. I mean, our children can go from the TV in our the house to the TV in our vehicles and constantly entertained. How were you entertained growing up on road trips? Look out the window, right? You know, I may not be as old as many of you, but there were no TVs in the family station wagon, okay? From Kentucky to Florida, it was look out the windows at the beautiful scenery, God's creation. It was little games or read a book or, you know, fight with my three sisters, but there wasn't the tablets and gameware or whatever. But here's the thing, again, we live in a world of technology and entertainment, and again, if we're not very careful with our parenting, they're going to expect it when we assemble for worship. And so we bring games and we bring toys and we bring tablets to keep them, watch it now, entertained. I've seen families bring basically like a basket of toys from home and dump them out, and the kids play right there in between the pews or the aisles. And, well, just trying to keep them quiet and what? Entertained. And with the common use today of smartphones, iPhones, iPads, tablets, and kids have them as well, you know, there's a certain temptation to misuse those devices when we come together for Bible study and worship. Is there not? Is there not a temptation? Sure there is. They can be used as our Bible. I know many brethren now do that. I'm still old-fashioned. I'm just going to keep doing this. But I have no problem if you're using your tablet or smartphone or whatever for your Bible. And that can be very handy. Right? All 66 books right there. And Bible study tools as well that can be used. And it's helped me when I've been teaching a Bible class and someone asked a question or there's a certain word and remember to look that up real quick and boom, we got the answer and contribute to the class in that way. I get that. I can appreciate that. But there's also a temptation, brethren, on using them to check our email and text messaging and playing games and checking our Facebook page and Pinterest and checking the score of the game, which I think I'd have a temptation. I like sports. Right? And yes, adults and children have been guilty of such during worship. I've seen it. Other brethren have seen it. Elders have seen it. So entertainment even affects our worship. And we need to be very aware and very conscientious of this. Thirdly, entertainment has an effect on our influence. It affects your influence on your family. What example are we setting for our spouse in the area of entertainment? In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, we read, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Listen up, men. We are to be the spiritual leaders in our homes. And how are we leading our spouse and our children in the realm of entertainment? Maybe not so well at times. Maybe we can hang our heads in shame. Maybe we can repent if that's what needs to take place and do things differently. But first of all, Christ has appointed me as head of the family. Not dictator, but spiritual leader of the home. And I need to act like it. I need to live like it. All of us do, men. What example are we setting for our spouse in the area of entertainment? What example are we setting for our children in the realm of entertainment? In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but what? Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Am I doing that in regards to entertainment? Am I bringing them up in the training and admonition of the Lord when it comes to what they watch and what they view and what they do with their time in this area? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Am I training up my children, my two sons and my two daughters, and the way they should go when it comes to entertainment? And again, it may not be that they're watching something or viewing something and doing things that they, in a sense, should not be doing that's ungodly. But again, how much time am I allowing them to spend doing those things? How much time am I allowing them to waste doing those things? And what habits will they form as a result and later take into their future homes? In Ezekiel chapter 16, in verse 44, we read, "Indeed, everyone who quotes Proverbs will use this proverb against you. Like mother, like daughter." Or we might add, "like father, like son." Do you know what we need today in our homes? We need the same courage and conviction of Joshua of old. We need to say, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Or as we might express it this evening in regards to our lesson, "Choose for yourselves your entertainment, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let us follow in the steps of Joshua. No matter what everyone else is deciding to watch and view and do, it doesn't change what we have decided to do in our homes. God give us Christian homes. It doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen just because you obey the gospel and were baptized. No, we must not be conformed but transformed according to this perfect will of God. We will set no worthless thing, no wicked thing before our eyes. Rather, we will serve the Lord righteously and faithfully. And of course, brethren, we must always be mindful of our influence upon those in this world. What do our friends and neighbors who are non-Christians see in our lives, in our family, in our homes, when it comes to entertainment? What things do they know that we watch and like to view on television, our favorite shows? I mean, you get a pretty good idea of what brethren like. Let's get on Facebook. And kind of like I mentioned last night with the prom pictures and young people posting, or the parents posting, and the grandparents posting, and all the brethren who are liking it. Shake my head and scratch my head and say, what in the world's going on here? But then you find out, well, when you find out about the brethren's favorite TV shows, and you're like, really? Have we forgotten how to blush? We need to be ashamed. But here's the thing, we need to think about our example.
What do our friends and our neighbors see in us when it comes to entertainment? We're to be a salt to the earth, Matthew 5:13. But brethren, have we lost our flavor? If so, we're good for nothing, right? Be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world, are we? Are we being a light into the world in the realm of entertainment?
A city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Are they seeing our good works or our bad works? Are they able to glorify our Father in heaven or not because of what they see in us? Yes, we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, but brethren, among whom we must shine as lights in this dark world. Are we? Philippians 2:15. I understand that all these forms of entertainment and communication can be used for good. I understand that. I think you do as well. Certainly with them, we can take the gospel to places it has not gone before. We can stay connected so easily to one another. We can reconnect with people that we haven't been in connection with for years, as I have with on Facebook with people I went to high school with many years ago, and with many brethren all over the country and all over the world. That any time we can say something uplifting to our brethren, that we are praying for them, that we can be thinking about them, that something can be posted and so many brethren can know about it, and so many prayers right away can be lifted up before the throne of God. I think that's wonderful. But you see how creative the devil is in taking something useful for good and turning it into a channel of slavery and evil. And let me emphasize that word, slavery, again. How all these different forms of entertainment enslave us in our time.
And finally, please be careful to keep in mind the following three scriptures. Whenever you watch TV or a movie or browse the internet, text, get on Facebook, or whatever it is you do in this regard. Proverbs 5:21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. Or as we read in the 15th chapter of Proverbs, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. And as the Hebrew writer said in that great epistle, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. The various forms of entertainment today are a clear and present threat to our families, to ourselves. Don't be deceived into thinking it doesn't affect me or it doesn't affect my family. Maybe your family, not my family. Because entertainment has a tremendous effect on our time, on our mind, and on our influence. As we just read from Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Let that be a sobering verse of truth for every single one of us here tonight. Yes, and in regards to our subject tonight of entertainment, but just period. There is an almighty, loving, but just God to whom each of us must give an account to one day. Are you ready right now, if you had to give an account before God? As we mentioned in Matthew 24 earlier in our lesson, the Son of Man is coming an hour we do not expect. So we just have to be ready. Can you say you're ready? If you're not a New Testament Christian, you can't say, yes, I'm ready.
If you still haven't obeyed the gospel, you're not ready. You're lost. You're condemned in your sins. But there's good news for everyone. Though all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, there's good news. There's salvation in Jesus Christ. And so why not come to your Savior tonight? Believe in Him that He is the Son of God, the Christ, the Savior of the world, John 3:16. That you would repent of your sins and turn away from them and turn to God to seek to do His will, Acts 17:30. And that you would confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, Romans 10:9-10, and be buried with Him in baptism. Be baptized into His death. Have thy sins washed away by His precious blood. All things are ready. If your heart is ready, there is a fountain. We hope that you'll take advantage of it. If you are a child of God, but there's sin in your life, then you know what you need to do. You need to confess it. You need to repent of it. You need to return to the Lord and Master. And we have bid you and invite anyone that has a spiritual need to make that known as together we stand and we sing.